Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
So I want to share with you fairly quickly this morning. I want to just kind of talk with you just about God's, now listen to this, God's mercy. God's mercy. And he displays it in a variety of ways. And, you know, it's a little bit different than grace, but, you know, the two travel together. They're traveling companions, grace and mercy. And grace is where he gives us favor that we don't really deserve. Okay? It's a kindness. It's a gift to us. We haven't earned it. Okay, that's in a nutshell. That's grace. Mercy is a little different. Grace, he gives us what we don't deserve. Mercy, he withholds what we do deserve. Right? The wages of sin is death. Right? Yeah. Sin separates us from him, and so there's a distance. Well, He is merciful to us. He withholds what we probably do deserve. And on the other hand, he gives us what we don't deserve. How marvelous is that? That is the nature of God and how he cares for you and I. Here's one of the ways that he displays a grace and a mercy. Like I said, they travel together. You know, he calls us and has given us opportunity to have different titles in our life and responsibilities. And I'm not talking about necessarily titles that you get through education. It's more like titles like father, mother, brother. You know, those kind of titles that give us a little indication of who we are and how we're supposed to function in this life. The interesting thing is that God shows this kind of mercy to us, that the things that he has called us to do and to be, he has himself put the very same title on himself with the same responsibility. In other words, he willingly says, I'm your brother. I mean, God himself, Jesus. Think about that, your brother. You know, through him we're adopted in, but he's our brother. We call him Father. So he has, and I want to use this term. You'll get the idea, though, that the term is a little bit off because it kind of gives us a negative connotation, but understands. In other words, the titles he has given us, he has strapped himself with. Father, brother, shepherd, friend. And the titles go on and on. But I want you to know the things that he calls us to, that you and I, you know, we fall short, we fail at. And yet he has given himself, we find in Scripture, the same titles, which means it also gives him the same responsibilities. And here's the thing, he fulfills those responsibilities to the fullest. It is a great display of his mercy because you and I, we don't deserve that, right? Christ died for us long before we knew him, before we recognized him, before we heard about him. He loved us while we were yet sinners. Now I'll elbow somebody and say, that's you. Yeah, yeah, you can do that because you probably know the person next to you, right? You know what they're like, you know their history, you know how great they are, but you also know their flaws. Listen, Jesus, I want you to remember this in Luke 19. He sits on the hillside, okay, And he's approaching Jerusalem, and he sits on the hillside, and he's overlooking the city. Okay. He's overlooking Jerusalem. And he begins to weep. He begins to have tears. And he weeps over the city. And really, it's not the city itself. It's the people, right? God, I want you to hear this. He shed tears over the ones who were about to shed his blood. A compassion, a mercy. We live in a different day, but we're no different. He looks upon you with compassion. He sees that you need to be gathered. He sees where you and I are broken, where we're bruised. And he just wants to bring you in. I know we hear it all the time, but here's the fact. He loves you. He cares about you. And he knows that this life can be tough. He shed tears over those who were going to shed his blood. You know, it's an interesting thing, an understanding from Scripture, that when Jesus died and he ascended, he resurrected, and he was seen among people, and then he ascended to the Father. And it says that Scripture says he's at his right hand. And I don't want you to think he's just sitting up there now and kicking back. He is talking to the Father all the time on our behalf. And not just as a group. He mentions you by name. Neil. Sarah. Keith, Robert, Cole, Jesus talking about you to the Father. Because it says he's at the right hand of God for a reason. He's making intercession for us. In other words, he's interceding. Okay? Intervening. Interceding. You see, he's talking to God about us. I'm going to put it, and this is not a harsh term. It just talks about our weakness and about his mercy. As he's talking to God, who is holy, and interceding on weak Christians' behalf. You see, he's not interested in you being separated from him. He's very interested in being in relationship with you. That's why he was sent. It's why he came. He came for people like us, people like me. After all these years of having faith in him, it still moves me that he knows me. And he still loves me. And he's still interested in me. You know, he's speaking these words of mercy to the Father on our behalf. You know, Isaiah, Old Testament prophet, he was known as one of the messianic prophets, or the messianic prophet. He prophesied and talked a lot about the coming of Jesus, who he is, what he's going to be like. And in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 3, it says this about the coming Messiah, who we know now as Jesus, because they were looking forward then and we get to look back. It says this about Jesus, that he will not break a bruised reed. You and I have been bruised in this life. We take hits all the time. And we get bruised in our soul. And it says that Jesus will never break a bruised reed. He knows how to be gentle. He also knows the moments where he has to be strong and tough to fix that which is bruised. You've been to a doctor before, haven't you? Oh, sometimes it's painful. You ever break a bone? You ever get it set? You ever dislocate something? You ever have them pop it back in? Yeah. There's a reason that they came up with pain medication for surgery. Right? But all for the sake of healing. All the time, caring for you and I. Now, I know that when you and I are going through the ringer, so to speak, or that's kind of an old phrase, it just means you're getting pressed and everything that is within you is just getting squeezed out. All your strength is going from you. All the things that, you know, make you feel like you're, you know, you just can't be touched. You know, when you're young, you just feel invincible. Well, you're still pretty young, so you might still feel a little bit of that. I used to feel that way. My mind is good enough to remember that. It's been a while since I have felt invincible, Joshua. Yeah. In fact, there's a friend of mine here this morning, Mike. College friend of mine and his wife, Connie. Pastor Mike. Pastor Connie. They're traveling through. And Mike would have known me in a day where I felt pretty invincible. We played a lot of basketball together. Yeah. Stand up, Mike. Obviously, he played a little guard. I got a pick on him. I don't play no more. He still plays every week. I think about it and I'm exhausted. Listen, we feel invincible at the time, but you know, when there's something in this life that troubles us and afflicts us, and it's not fleeting, it seems to hang on. Wears us out. We're going through the ringer. And it just takes it out of us. And we, you know, if you're a believer, you talk to the Lord about it, obviously. And for some things, it seems like I've got to pray for a long time. It's like I got to keep reminding him. All right, from my perspective. Got to keep reminding him. I've got to keep talking to him about it. And it's just, some things, it's like, it's not just days, it's weeks, it's months. It can turn into years. Some of you here, you're still dealing with something and you feel like it's been a lifetime. And you get tired. I get tired. You know, waiting on the Lord means a lot of different things. Waiting can mean serving him. Waiting on him can be praying. Waiting on him can be serving. It can just, you go on and you can, all these things. But I have also found out that waiting on him, you ready for this? Get on the edge of your seat. This is very profound. Sometimes waiting means waiting. I'm just waiting, right? And when you're in the ringer, going through it, it just always seems so much longer. And we start to question our faith sometimes. Sometimes we start to question Scripture. Sometimes we get to the point where we question the Lord himself. We get exhausted. And when we get to a point where we don't necessarily think real clear, it gets hard to wait. Romans 12, verse 12, it says this: be joyful in hope, be patient in affliction, and be faithful in prayer. Joyful in hope, in my mind, now this is in my mind, but you're going to get the point. Joyful in hope is kind of a picture of me and my wife at the holidays when we are hosting it and our kids and grandkids are coming over. Now, Sue is really busy during that time. I try to help. Mostly by staying out of the way and some of the simple requests she gives me. But you know what happens? I know the kids are coming. So I go over to the larger front window that faces our driveway, and I'm looking out the window. Did they pull in yet? It's not in being anxious because of worry. It's being excited that they're coming. Are they going to get here early? Well, they should have been here a minute ago. You step away from the window. You hear a car. You hear a car door. And I'm to the window, and I'm looking. Especially for the out-of-town kids, because we don't get to see them all the time. The in-town ones, we get to see. And they're still very special. And even when they're coming over and I'm looking, I'm waiting. That's the picture of being joyful in hope. I'm happy at the window. I'm waiting for the arrival. And I want you to know that when you are going through the ringer and you know God and you trust Him and you're believing it, but you're tired and this is happening, I want you to remember some kind of image that is like that. That is how my hope is and faith is supposed to conduct itself. That I'm still looking. I'm still joyful. Even though I'm exhausted, I haven't thrown in the towel. I remember who you are. I know that you're going to come and not just come to receive us, but to come yet before that in this life, that you have an answer. That you care about me, even though I'm always not so likable. Mercy. Be joyful and hope. Don't let hope go away. Don't let hope go away. Get back to here to remember who He is and how He treats people, because you are a people. I'm a people. And He knows how to care for you and I. And He will not break a bruised reed. That's His promise. It's who He is. Be joyful in hope. Be patient in affliction. Yeah. That's a tough one, isn't it? Just patience itself is tough. You know, the psalmist, David, one of his psalms, Psalm 40, it's the first couple of verses. He says, I waited patiently. See, there's other ways you and I can wait, but we're supposed to wait patiently. And it says, the Lord inclined His ear to me, and He heard my cry. Now, David isn't just talking with the Lord. He's letting it out. You know what a cry for help is, right? Huh? You ever hear your child in another level of the house scream for help, or your wife screams? Yeah, I've heard it. I know her scream when there's a bat in the house. That is a very special scream. That's a very particular scream. Right? Yeah. David cried to the Lord. He shouted. He let it out. This isn't just some like little sanctified, little holy, quiet, liturgical prayer. This is coming deep from within the man. Let's out his cry. The next verse, he says this, "And the Lord reached down and took me out of a horrific pit of destruction. And he took me out of a miry bog." Took him out. That's only half of what God does, is to take us out. Look at the other half. It says then, he set me high upon a rock, and he made me secure. We go from insecurity in what we face, because we start to question when the time goes on and we're waiting and we're tired and we're starting to lose hope and all of those things. And Paul inspires us to say, hey, be joyful in hope. Don't lose that. Be patient in affliction. Okay, wait. And then it says, be faithful in prayer. That's a call for us personally, but I want to touch on this morning. Because there are those in this room who you lost some joy and your hope is dwindling. And we've all been there. I've been there on different occasions throughout my life. And we've had different afflictions and troubles and patience and waiting, trying to wait and hang in there. And then faithful in prayer to talk to him. But here's the other beauty. You can look through, you know, the New Testament in different places. Paul writes it to Timothy in the first letter, and he urges us to pray for others. You're never meant to be alone. Alone from God. And you're never meant to be alone. You are meant to be in relationship with each other. Because you can look throughout the New Testament. You can look in Romans, Galatians. You can look in Ephesians, Colossians. And it says it in different ways and uses different words and sometimes the same words. And Paul writes these letters and says, I'm praying for you. Pray for one another. He says, I urge you to pray for one another. Urge, urgency. It's important. Don't pass it off. Well, this morning in this place, that's what we're going to do. Because you have brothers and sisters in this place, they're going through the ringer. And maybe for you, you're saying, well, I'm not totally exhausted yet. You don't have to wait till you're totally exhausted. He's here today. He's here today. And he doesn't want you alone. And some of what you go through is very private. It's very personal. It's nobody else's business. But he cares. We are supposed to bear one another's burdens. You brought this on yourself. I'm not helping you. Please tell me that that is not your mentality. What if God showed that no mercy? You brought this on yourself. I am not helping you. I mean, there's a time to say, you know what, you got yourself into this. You're going to have to work through some consequences, develop, mature, all those kind of things. I remembered I was a kid. My parents, you know, they didn't rescue me on every occasion. My siblings were all rescued. I was a firstborn, and so I was an experiment. I said that because my sister's here this morning. Her and her husband, Neil, are visiting. So I had to say how, you know, easy it was for them. Just have a little fun. Now, we're supposed to bear one another's burdens. That doesn't mean that we don't have any responsibility and we take advantage of the body of Christ. Paul talks against that. But this morning, some of you have been waiting for a long time for an answer, for heaven to move. And this morning, we're going to pray together. I mean, how can you expect to come to church and not do Bible things? Right? It calls us to pray for one another, bear one another's burdens. We're not going to come in here and pretend and be pretentious. This is what it instructs you and I to do with and for one another. So we're going to take time and do that this morning. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. I'm going to ask staff and deacons and wives to come and just stand across the front and face your friends. And staff and deacons and spouses, if you are the one who needs prayer, after you're praying with people, don't leave. Just tell somebody, I need prayer this morning. I need some more hope. I need some more patience. I need to be a little more faithful. Or I'm exhausted. My hope's running out. My patience is kind of to the end. And I don't even hardly have the strength to pray. Maybe that's how far it's gotten for you. Listen, he's for you. He's against the sin, but he's for you. He has mercy. Listen, if you're in this place and you are bruised in some way, I don't care how long ago it happened, and you say, no, I'm fine. You don't notice you're limp anymore. Because you got used to it. You got used to it. Oh, you think you're over it. But your soul limps. There's an area of attitude that limps along. And some of your relationships aren't as great as they should be. But time's gone by and we just get used to it and think, well, this is just the new way of life. I want you to know that he can deliver you that. He will never break you because you're bruised. So would you maybe open your heart to him today?
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.